from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia, filling in for Kyle Madsen. Kyle Madsen is actually going to fill in for D'Lo and Casey. We got some switcheroos happening here.
Just a couple of switches, that's all.
Just a couple of switches, but we roll with it. We roll with it. Jesse's going to hang out with me in the first hour, and the legendary Jerry Reynolds is going to drop in studio and hang out with me in hour number two. Should be a very, very fun day here. The Sacramento Kings this weekend. They did something I did not think that we didn't know if it was going to happen, Jesse.
Yeah, it was kind of like, all right, well, they're working, but are you going to be able to get the job done?
Well, we've been here before. Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem. We've been here before, and we didn't know if they were going to be able to close a deal. And sure enough, on Saturday night, it absolutely did happen. It did happen. Lou, we got air horns, I think. Let me see if, maybe I can do air horns, maybe I can't. Whatever happened, the Sacramento Kings have landed DeMar DeRozan. It is a sign-and-trade deal. They are going to send Harrison Barnes to the San Antonio Spurs along with a 2031 pick swap. Chris Duarte and a pair of second-round picks are headed to the Chicago Bulls. It's basically a net-neutral trade, which is a good thing for the Sacramento Kings. They've got roughly $24 million in salary going out. They've got roughly $24 million worth of salary coming in. They signed DeRozan to a three-year, and the numbers all over the board.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of them in the 70s this weekend.
It's all over the board, but from what I know, it's a three-year $76 million deal. The first 2 years are fully guaranteed. The third year is not going to be fully guaranteed. It's going to be probably a team option with some sort of buyout. We don't know what the figure is on that yet, but it basically breaks down to 24, 25, 26 million, something like that, plus incentives. So this is a huge, huge addition for the Sacramento
Kings. Oh, yeah, no, this is a massive deal. This is a big deal, especially like you said, they didn't really give up much to get him here.
Well, I mean, they did give up a seasoned veteran. They gave up a guy who's been the backbone of this team for the last couple of years in Harrison Barnes, who is, again, one of the most, I've covered the NBA, this will be my 15th season, the best pro the Kings have ever had. He's so good in the community. He's so good behind the scenes, teaching players how to maintain their bodies, teaching players how to be professionals. He is an absolute dream of an individual, spectacular human being. So shout out to Harrison, to his wife Brittany, to their daughter August, who are going to take their talents to San Antonio for the next couple of seasons. Jesse, just what were your initial thoughts when you heard DeMar DeRozan, Sacramento Kings?
I feel like we're all just kind of building up to it on Saturday because you and Dan been kind of handling that story all like as it was building up and all that. So I feel like Saturday was kind of the culmination of it. Like we saw, I think it was Saturday morning, like he was in Sacramento and all that. He was around Fox and all those guys. So I feel like we were all just kind of building up to like celebrate like that signing when it did happen that night.
Yeah, and so I'm going to start there. You mentioned something right there. First of all, our good friend Damian Barling was all over this trade.
Yeah.
All over it from start to finish. And for me, like Damian was a great partner to work with in this whole deal. We both had information we were putting out there. I knew as of Friday, most of the parameters of the trade, and even that they had found a third team to like get involved with the trade. And Damian was all over this. He knew when he was coming into town, you know, sort of the whole process. And it's funny because in the end, the payoff is that Shams or Woj tweets out the final thing. But that doesn't mean that we weren't on the ground, like, driving this thing the whole time.
Yeah, this thing, like, Woj and Shams, they can tweet out the final, whatever. DeMar DeRozan is signed with the Kings for this amount of money, whatever. But it's like, if you were following, like, James and Damian the whole time, like, you didn't need that tweet. You knew what was going on the whole time. Like, you were kept up with it the whole time.
Yeah, and, like, it got a little crazy there in the end. It did. Like, there was a point where, like, the negotiations hadn't, like, broken down, but like maybe some of the mechanics of maybe the third year or how much money the entirety of it would be started to get a little strange, and they took a break. But we knew early on that the hope and dream of the Sacramento Kings was for him to sign a deal to agree to a deal on Saturday night so they could bring him out either right before or during the Kings California Classic game at Golden One Center. And that's exactly what they were able to accomplish.
Yeah, what was that atmosphere like being out there all day? Because I feel like I said, everyone kind of feel like it was all culminating to that. Like, what was the vibes like?
Oh, it was anxious. Yeah, it was anxious. Like, Damian was, like, pacing. Like, he couldn't sit down at all. Like, all of us were sitting there on edge, like, hey, when is this going to happen? Is it going to happen? Because, look, I think everyone knows, like, the Clippers were the boogeyman in this situation.
Yeah, I feel like that's another thing, too, when I feel like a lot of people, and even myself a bit, like, when I saw the Clippers name, and I was like, don't let this be, like, what it's kind of been the last few seasons. Kind of like, oh, yeah, the Kings were going to trade for Kuzma at one point, and then Russell Westbrook swoops in, and that deal happens and all that.
No, I totally
feel. Yeah, I was just kind
that.
Of, yeah, I saw that, I was like, yeah. All right, like, I hope it goes down, but it's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was a really, really interesting situation because, you know, he is from Compton. And he's from, you know, Southern California. Like, there, you would expect him to want to play for the Lakers or the Clippers. But at the end of the day, like, look, the Kings hard sold him. Like, the story by Anthony Slater and The Athletic, I thought was really interesting, where he had, like, sort of the dynamics of what happened behind the scenes. Jay Triano picks him up at the airport. Jay Triano, of course, is DeMar DeRozan's first NBA head coach. He comes to the arena. They watch a workout of De'Aaron Fox, Mike Brown, and Luke Laux, and one other coach, like, takes him on a tour of the practice facility of, you know, sort of the back end of Golden One Center, which, just so people know, is spectacular. Like, the Kings practice facility is so top notch, and everything behind the scenes. They have a lounge. They have a full kitchen where a chef makes them all kinds of food all throughout the day. Like, it is a fully functioning, like sort of corporate office with, you know, the weight room and the cold tubs and everything is right there attached to Golden One Center, which is a huge bonus for a lot of players. You know, a lot of players like to have it all intact, so when they're going to work, they're going to work, right? So they did all of that. He went to lunch with De'Aaron Fox, and you know, he had talked to a lot of coaches, a lot of players beforehand, whether it be Malik or it be De'Aaron or, you know, whoever it might be.
They pulled out all the stops for him.
They did, and I think that's something that, you know, they needed to do. This was like, you need to put your best foot forward, and sure enough, they were able to do it. They were able to close the deal, and to me, this is probably the biggest free agent signing in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Vlade was a free agent signing too.
Vlade is, for me, has been the number one free agent signing.
Yeah.
He was 30. I think he signed a 7-year, like 70-something million-dollar deal during the lockout of 1998-99. And, you know, they've had other free agent signings that could have been great. Mm-hmm. Like George Hill got like a 3-year, $57 million contract with the Kings. And then on top of that, they've had other guys. You know, I think Malik Monk will go down as one of the best free agent signings ever.
I think for the caliber of like player DeMar DeRozan was, like I was 5'4" or whatever at the time. Vlade Divac got signed by the Kings or whatever that was. So I wasn't sure what the league thought of him. But I think for the caliber of player DeMar DeRozan was, like this is probably, like this is the biggest for the Kings now.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the biggest swing and hit. I mean, we're talking about a guy who last season averaged 24 points, 5.3 rebounds, 5.3 assists, 4.3 rebounds. He led the league in minutes per game and minutes played at the age of 34. He'll play his 35-year-old, 36, and 37-year-old seasons in Sacramento. So there's always got to be some concern about a player breaking down. But he sure doesn't show any signs of it, and that's something that I think like stands out. Like the Kings have had players that they brought in that you hope that will live up to some free agent contract, and they don't. But this is a guy who just last season was dominant. Mm. He was dominant. 6-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA. He's really close. If he's not a Hall of Famer, he's really close.
Yeah.
He's got 11 consecutive seasons over 20 points per game.
Well, it's like to him coming here and like at his age, it's not like he's coming here to like carry the team on his back. Like now we have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis here as well, like Malik Monk. So it's not just like DeMar play all these minutes and like you're just gonna burn you out or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's a much better situation now.
That's a good point. And like, look, I don't think the Kings are done, and we're gonna get to that here in a little bit. We also have some other news with the Kings too that we'll get to kind of break down a little bit more, but. Just Devin Carter, the prized rookie of the Kings, the number 13 overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. He is going to undergo surgery on his left shoulder and is out indefinitely. Jesse, I got to be honest.
Yeah, how do you feel about this?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things here in play. Number one, he's a little bit older rookie, so I think some people are like, oh, you know, this is a bit of a panic. I think it is what it is. Like, this is like guys get redshirted all the time. I don't think he's going to be redshirted, as in he won't play this season at all. But I do think he's going to miss time. So I had heard the day before the draft that there was concerns that he needed surgery, and the surgery would be something close to 6 to 8 months recovery. We heard a little bit, you know, as of yesterday that. It's similar to the Kevin Huerter injury, but Kevin Huerter's injury isn't a 6 to 8 month. His injury, you know, labral tear, is more like 4 to 5 months. And he's way deep into that recovery. But yeah, this isn't ideal because he's going to miss training camp most likely. He's going to miss preseason. He's going to miss all the things that rookies need to go through in their first year in order to sort of build a base. He'll be here in Sacramento. He'll be working out. He'll be, you know, working on everything that he can without using that shoulder. He'll be learning the playbook. He'll be working with coaches, watching film, all that stuff. But it's a big difference when you're going through the actual steps.
Yeah.
You know, I think the one good thing is that it's not like a lower leg injury where he's just going to be sitting there and can't do anything for the next couple of months. He actually will be able to do some things. That's sort of the concern right away is that, you know, will he play this season? Will he not be ready until January or February? That's possible. Either way, the Kings are going to have to react, and they already did. They signed Jordan McLaughlin to a looks like a league minimum deal, just as a third point guard to give him some support, but definitely not exactly how you want to start your rookie campaign.
Yeah, the Devin Carter stuff, I guess, is an ideal for him, but I think kind of the silver lining it is, I'm sure the Kings had a plan for all this. Like, they knew going into it what the deal was and all that.
Yeah, you hope so.
Yeah.
You hope so. So, okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk a whole lot more about DeMar DeRozan and the Sacramento Kings, how he fits and where the Kings go from here. is this it? Do the Kings have more up their sleeve and all that stuff? So I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. You're listening to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I'm James. Joining me is Jesse Tapia on the other side of the glass. Got the two room thing that we used to do here on The Insiders. We don't have to do that anymore unless Kyle and I aren't, you know, doing the show together. So it's a little different, Jesse.
Yeah, I like you guys' setup too. How you have it where you guys are both in there now.
No, I dig it too.
Yeah,
it just adds for like that more personal feel.
Yeah.
Even like when Jerry comes in, it's like we're just, me and Jerry are just sitting here having a conversation.
Because like here, I'm in the studio or whatever. I got to make sure I'm sitting up straight. That way I can see you over the little laptop or computer monitor that's in front of me. I'm not a tall guy or whatever, so I got to make sure everything happens. The chairs are as high as it goes. So yeah, I got to make sure I'm working already.
That's funny. So the Sacramento Kings pulled off a monstrous sign and trade deal. And let's get into this. There is questions right now about the capital implications of this. So people know out there, when you do a sign and trade deal like this, it will hard cap you. But the hard cap is going to be at the first apron. So that's at like $178.1 million for this season. Right now, the Kings are well below that. But they have to be cautious in how they build out their squad still. So as of like this weekend, I think the math is like they're at like $168 million, maybe $168 million with Alex Len. And so if they sign another player, they're going to be right up against, like super close to the actual luxury tax. The luxury tax is like 171 point something million. So what hard cap means is that means that you can't exceed the first apron with another trade. You can continuously make trades that play below that amount. But once you get to that 178, the only thing you can do is you can't make a trade that would take back more money than that dollar figure. This is the 178. But what you can do is you can sign veteran minimum players after that. So if you do need to sign a veteran minimum, you know, you're going to be over the luxury tax. So you're going to pay dollar for dollar for the first $5 or $6 million. And then it's going to go up incrementally for every $5 million over that. So the Kings won't be able to, like, they couldn't go out and do like a deal that brought back a $34 million, $36 million Brandon Ingram, but only send out $18 million. They won't be able to do that because that would violate this hard cap situation. But they still can play like on the margins. There's all kinds of things that they can still do. They still have Kevin Huerter's contract, which at this point, you know, again, they've bulked up the backcourt. I'm not sure what Kevin Huerter's role is on this team as of today, whether it's going to be as a backup three or a backup two.
Do you think it matters that Devin Carter could be out for however amount of time, like for Kevin Huerter?
No, because I think the Kings still have depth at the position, and they still have an opportunity, right? The one thing I would point out that, like, the versatility of their roster is really interesting. They have De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. They can play the one and the two, right? But they also did a lot of work with Keon Ellis. So Keon Ellis started 6 games, I think, last year at the point guard position. So there's potential for him to play a little point guard. There's potential for Colby Jones to play a little point guard. But also, there's a potential for DeMar DeRozan to move into the backcourt. And so there's always that chance that if, let's say, the Kings go out and they shop for another player, right, and they further change their roster. And I do know as of right now, according to my sources, the Kings aren't done. At least they don't hope to. They're not done. That they are still intrigued by players like Kyle Kuzma and Lauri Markkanen. Whether they can pull those trades off or not is really going to depend on draft capital and what they're willing to give up, what they're comfortable to give up. But you could see how if they were to make a move and bring in a Lauri Markkanen, or Kyle Kuzma and put them at the four and move Keegan Murray to the three and move DeMar DeRozan to the backcourt, that could easily happen.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think the roster versatility of DeMar DeRozan actually does help you. You know, we'll get into like sort of interesting things about like how DeMar DeRozan fits and everything else. But as of right now, the initial question is how are they cap wise? They're fine. And you know, they don't have a lot of room to play here. They do still have at least part of their mid-level exception that they can use, but they can't go over that hard cap number of 178. But then on top of that, they do still have other things that they can do. They can't trade a player like Jalen McDaniels until they get to a certain point. And he's got to be on the roster 60 days before they can send him out in aggregated trade. They can trade him on his own, but that again is like $4.7 million you could potentially free up. But you always have to remember that when you trade out a player like that, or you could even buy out a player like that and just basically save $3 million bucks this year. So that's what I always tell people, like when you're talking about the salary cap and all these questions that you have about hard cap, or, you know, like, are they going to go over the tax and all that stuff? Like, the tax is definitely, like, it's calculated at the end of the season. If you're hard capped, you're hard capped when you're hard capped. Like, you make a sign and trade deal, you're hard capped, right? But the way that the tax and the salary cap is all like kind of figured out, they wait until the very end of the season. So you have plenty of time to like make moves that could potentially help you.
How realistic after all that do you think a move for like Lauri Markkanen would be?
So the Lauri Markkanen one is going to be interesting. So in August, they can do something crazy. Like they can give him an extension. They can try to do what the Kings did with Sabonis. They can give him a pay increase. They can renegotiate and extend him in August. But like what I've heard, and you know, even like I had a conversation with Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 on the Kings Beat podcast last week, and what Sean has heard is that he really wants to test free agency. And so there's a possibility that he won't sign there. So Utah is kind of in a rough situation where if they don't get dollar, you know, if they don't cash out on him right now, they're in trouble. But also when they try to trade him, his value isn't going to be as high. So,
yeah, because you know he might not sign with you still.
Yeah, exactly. So you're looking at a 27-year-old guy who I think he just turned 27. And you would hope that you would be able to sign him to a long-term deal, but he's going to want, you know, close to $40 million or maybe over $40 million a year for 5 years. So your investment in Lauri Markkanen is really high, but his starting salary is really low. So this next season, he only makes $18 million, something like that. And so you could pull off a trade straight up like Kevin Huerter for Lauri Markkanen straight up. And then it's about the draft capital.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you going to have to give up? The Kings did hamstring themselves a little bit by giving up a 2031 pick swap, and it's an unprotected pick swap. So if they somehow land the first pick in the 2031 NBA draft...
Shout out to San Antonio for that one.
San Antonio can swoop in. But here's the crazy thing. It doesn't mean that they can't trade their pick. They can. They can trade the 2031 pick still, but whatever their record is, that team has to understand that San Antonio can pick swap it if they want. And so that's one problem. The other thing is, like, that's why I've always talked about Kyle Kuzma as such an intriguing piece for the Kings, because he's locked up under contract at $23.5 million, $21.5 million, and $19.5 million. And a straight-up Kevin Huerter for Kyle Kuzma swap would work financially, right? But the problem is that you're going to go deep into the tax on that, and you're going to approach that hard cap idea. So you would almost want to add a player or two to try to bring that number down a little bit. And then, like, what is it that they're going to want? I know that Washington has held out and kind of held their ground and said, hey, we want, like, multiple first-round picks. And what does that mean for the Kings? Would they consider that? And to be honest, Jesse, I think that they would consider that more today than they would have on Saturday morning.
Well, I feel like you add Kyle Kuzma to this team. Like, if you right now, I think with DeMar DeRozan, I think they're pretty comfortably a top six team. Like, they're a playoff team now in my eyes, I think. But if you add Kyle Kuzma, I think that's when we can talk about you with the OKCs and the Denvers and the Minnesotas, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. And that's where it starts to get really interesting, especially if you don't lose a guy like Trey Lyles in the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk into a season and your starting five is, you know, De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, you know, Kyle Kuzma, and Domantas Sabonis, but your bench is Keon Ellis and
Malik. Trey Lyles coming off the bench. That's solid.
Yeah, yeah. So all of a sudden you're starting to cook with something a little bit here. So yeah, I think it's interesting. We'll have to wait and see how it all works out. Again, I think the Kings are more likely to give up a little bit more now that they know where they stand in the league. Mm-hmm. and that they've got one player under contract that really does change the dynamic of the team. But we're gonna have to wait and see what else comes up and sort of what deals might materialize.
It's exciting just because, like I said, if they are able to pull off something like Kyle Kuzma, they are just right there now. Because I think before coming into the offseason, it was kind of far-fetched. Like going into this like game one or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, Kings probably going to have to play themselves up into being contenders and stuff like that. But you go and you get a guy like Kuzma, like it's just, you're instantly in that conversation now.
Yeah, I would think so too. And, you know, you're still going to have to figure out the dynamics of it. Mm-hmm. And how all the pieces work together. And Mike Brown.
That's why you got that coach. You get that extension too. That's another thing too. I think for looking at this offseason, like before with the Kings and their coaches, usually you got messy or whatever, and maybe it's not stable, so the coach isn't sticking around. But no, you kept Mike Brown around. Malik Monk, who probably could have went somewhere else, made more money. Now he chose to stay with you, and then you lock up a guy like DeMar DeRozan. Things are kind of changing around here.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. All right. We're going to step aside again. When we come back, we're gonna look at how DeMar DeRozan fits with the Sacramento Kings. Is this going to be an issue that he doesn't shoot the three-point shot, or is it not that big of a deal? So Jesse and I will be here. We'll walk you through it all here on the Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, in this segment. Kyle Madsen will be on from 12 to 4, filling in for D'Lo and Casey today. We have Kyle and friends. We also have James and friends this during this early 10 to noon slot. We've got Jerry Reynolds coming in just a few minutes. Jerry's supposed to be here at 11, but he's almost always early.
It's so usually 10:45.
It is. He just kind of rolls in whenever he wants because he's Jerry Reynolds and that's how he rolls. And we always just open the door and like welcome him right in. I'm super excited to see Jerry. It's been a little bit. Jesse, we got this one issue is that DeMar DeRozan's almost 35.
That's what I've heard.
And, I don't know. Where are you at with signing 35-year-old guys and then thinking that that's going to be the difference in you becoming a guaranteed playoff team?
It's a 35-year-old who maybe was dealing with injuries all season. Maybe he was playing minutes restrictions and all that. Maybe that's an issue. But DeMar DeRozan, he led the league in minutes, right?
He did.
Yeah, so at that point, it's like the age is tough, but like the Kings aren't asking him to come in and like, all right, we need you to lead this team to the playoffs, we need you to lead them to the finals. Like, no, you need to come in, like, compliment Fox, like, not in a way where it's like you're taking a backseat, because DeMar DeRozan is a 24 point per game player, but I mean the way he's been playing and all that, still I'm not too worried about his age at all. Okay. I think it fits for what it is. It fits for what the Kings are doing.
I kind of agree. Like, look, I think everyone understands it, like, you know, players typically progress, you know, once they get past 30. DeMar DeRozan has shown that he's not one of those guys, that his level of play is still extremely high. And, you know, we can look at what we saw from, like, say, Harrison Barnes last year, where I thought Harrison Barnes did take a step backwards, right? Whether it's physically, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, Harrison Barnes was not the same player that he was a year before at age 32. And then we have these other guys that are out there, like, you know, I think Paul George is a guy who just keeps playing at an extremely high level despite a major injury.
Yeah, I think you looking at it, was a stat, like his numbers last year were comparable to his numbers in 2020.
Yeah, and then I look at Klay Thompson and I see a player who's taken a step back.
Yep.
And Klay Thompson at 34 is not the same guy that he was 2 years ago. But then again, he had two major catastrophic, you know, leg injuries. So I'm intrigued by DeMar DeRozan and his durability. And there are some other questions that you have to have when you bring in a player who doesn't do what the rest of the team does.
There's a point where, yeah, he maybe isn't necessarily the best fit, but I don't think, like, that's stuff for Monty McNair to figure out too. Like, I don't think like bringing DeMar DeRozan's because I saw some people kind of jumping over the edge or whatever, like on Twitter this weekend, kind of like, oh yeah, DeMar DeRozan's here, but his fit is comical and it's not going to work. I don't. Like, the Kings got better, and now I think they're solidified as a top six team, so I'm not sure what... It's not as big of an issue, I think, as it's being made.
Yeah, I agree with you. And when I was watching the Kings this last year, the biggest problem I had was the playmaking, right? You have two guys who can create their own shots, and those two guys are De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. When you lost one of them...
Cash, it was over.
It got sticky. Like, what in the world is going to happen now? And now all of a sudden you walk into a game and sort of the key that I've heard from coaches, when you're game planning for an opponent and they've got two guys that can really score, that's not that difficult to game plan for. When you start getting to four, five guys that one of which could drop 30 on you at any time, that's when it starts to get a little complicated and a little dicey when you're setting up a defense. And, like, how do I take away Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, but also how do I take away those two and know that Kevin Huerter can hit me for 25 at any time, that Keegan Murray can hit me for 25, that Harrison Barnes can hit me? That's a tough look, right? Uh-huh. Like, and then, again, throw in Malik Monk. They can go for 30 at any moment. When you add a player like this who yeah, he's, you know, it's old, you know, Sesame Street, like three of these kids are doing the same thing and one of these kids is doing something different. Sometimes you need that, you know, like it's going to take some inventive coaching to figure out all of the ways in order to get DeMar DeRozan free in like in the mid-range because that's where he lives. But that's what good coaching is for. And, you know, we already talked about it. Like, Jay Triano, like, welcomed this guy into the league. He knows exactly who he is. He's the one who is, like, the architect of this offense over the last 2 years. He should have a really good idea of how to get DeMar DeRozan to his spots.
Yeah, I doubt the Kings going into this like, all right, guys, DeMar DeRozan, wow, really good player. Let's try to trade for him, and then we'll figure out how he fits later on. Like, I doubt that was the case. I'm pretty sure they knew going into it, all right, this is the ways it can work and all that.
Yeah, I mean, he is an isolation player, but I think the Kings needed an isolation player last season.
Yeah.
They did. When you had Monk go down, all of a sudden you had no ability to create. And I'd also point out, the Kings now have the number one and number two scorers in the fourth quarter from last season.
Sounds pretty good, James.
Yeah. I mean, DeRozan was second in clutch player of the year this last year. I think he was third the year before when De'Aaron Fox finished first. So when you get to a fourth quarter, you can have dueling banjos.
Well, yeah, because things tighten up in the fourth. Like, there might be a time where the threes aren't falling. We need someone to go get us a bucket. Like, we can't hit a three to save our life. DeMar DeRozan, go hit us in the mid-range or go get to the hole. Like, go get to the rim or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing. DeMar DeRozan gets to the basket. I mean, he gets to the rim, but he gets to the free throw line all the time. And I think that's something else that players, like, he's physical in a way that the Kings didn't have before. And the other thing is that he has a little bit of Paul Pierce in him. Paul Pierce had the ability to shoot a shot while someone was draped all over him. And that's something that DeMar DeRozan has. He can create space for himself. And because he's, you know, the way he plays, you have to defend him at all times. Uh-huh. Like, his mid-range jump shot is deadly.
Yeah, you can't just, all right, we're going to double Fox tonight. We're going to let DeMar DeRozan do his thing, and if he beats us, he beats us. Like, no, DeMar's going to kill you then at that point.
No, he is. Uh-huh. He's going to get you. I mean, realistically, the Kings just added a guy who averaged 24 points a game last season.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, he instantly becomes the number two scoring option on this team.
And that's another thing, too. Like, all season long, it's like we're kind of like looking at Sabonis. Like, maybe you can be the second leading scorer on this team, or you kind of needed him to at one point, and maybe that's just not his game. Malik Monk, you need him to be got hurt. Like, the Kings feel like answered a need this offseason, going out to get DeMar DeRozan. A guy who can go out and create his own shot, but also a guy who can go and score more than 20 points per game, too.
Yeah. No, I think they did. And the other thing is that you're looking at a three-year contract for DeMar DeRozan. You are going to have some issues with defense, and, you know, we can discuss that, you know, ad nauseum if we want. But the fact that it's a three-year deal, probably like two guaranteed, and then we don't know what that third year, that just buys you time for Keegan Murray to become who he's going to become.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the word on the street is that Keegan Murray's been working on his mid-range game during the offseason. And so maybe your offense does change a little bit. Maybe it's something where it's not just, you know, De'Aaron Fox trying to create, Malik Monk trying to create. Now all of a sudden, it won't just be all 3-point shots. Either Domas or De'Aaron at the rim, or 3-point shots around the perimeter. Maybe you'll have like some variance in your offense, which can lead to something different.
It's always good to have options. I mean, the offense can be dynamic. I'm not too worried about the defensive stuff, too. I feel like we're at a point in the league now, maybe, where it's not, like, I don't think the Kings are going to be the worst defense in the league. Like, maybe this year they're average or whatever, but just with the guys you got offensive, I don't think it's going to hurt them that much.
Well, that's where I think you have to be smart and support him with the right way, mm-hmm. You know, support him the right way. So whether it's the lineup that he's in, whoever it is he's playing with, there are times where I know he defended power forwards last year.
Yeah, he's not some turnstile either. It's just, oh, we got to figure out how to hide DeMar DeRozan and work around that. Like, he's not some horrible defender, I'm thinking.
No, I thought so, too. So I went and looked at his stats, his overall defensive stats, and I thought that they were actually a lot more refreshing than I thought that they would be. And for some reason, I don't have them pulled up anymore. But he only allowed his opponents to shoot like 34.4% from three. He held them to like 2% less than what their averages were. And when I looked up Harrison Barnes allowed players to shoot 41% from three last season. So while he might not be as physical as Barnes or as big as Barnes, he still held his opponent to like 7% less from three-point line than Harrison Barnes did.
Yeah, it's a huge upgrade.
Yeah, that it's a huge upgrade. And not only that, but like some of the crazy stats. I mean, Harrison Barnes averaged 3 rebounds a game last year. And DeMar DeRozan averaged 4.3.
You got a guy who's just going to be active, I think, too, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, yeah. So the activity level of him is huge. I'd also, the last 7 seasons, he's averaged 4.9 assists or more in every season. There's one season where he's at 4.9. The rest of the 7 seasons, he's over 5 assists per game. Like, that's something that the Kings didn't have. They didn't have a secondary playmaker when either Monk or Fox weren't on the court. And so not only does he make plays for himself, but he makes plays for others. And I know some people say, well, he does in isolation. And like, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be different and have a different wrinkle to your offense. I'm totally fine with that. I think that he is going to find his place. Now you're going to have to surround him with shooters. And that's where I almost think maybe Kevin Huerter isn't on his way out. Maybe Kevin Huerter isn't.
I'm kind of wondering that too about him.
Yeah. Like, maybe Kevin Huerter does make a lot of sense. But the fact that, you know, guys like De'Aaron Fox took major step as a three-point shooter, that as a catch-and-shoot shooter, Malik Monk was phenomenal last year. Off the dribble, not as good, but catch-and-shoot, spectacular. Keon Ellis shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, he can shoot it pretty well, too.
Yeah, Keon Ellis shot over 40% on catch-and-shoot threes. So you have all of these players that are finding ways to score at Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray can only go up from what happened last year. I mean, that guy is going to be around 38 to 40% for his career from three. And so as long as you're sort of counterbalancing the duo of Sabonis and DeRozan with high-level three-point shooters around the arc, you should be able to create the space that you need.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue with DeMar DeRozan out there.
Yeah.
Like, I think Mike Brown's going to be able to handle it and all that. What do you think? Like, what's next then? What do you think? Where would you go to build out the rest of this team?
I don't know. Like, I mean, again, if there's any way that you could find, you know, that you could land Lauri Markkanen, first of all, I think your defense would not be great. But the offensive potential, the versatility of your offense would be off the charts. And, you know, you're talking about, again, another 20 points per game score. You're talking about a guy who averages 8 rebounds a game, but who also shoots the three ball at an extremely high level. I think the key to all of this is just to keep bringing in shooters.
Uh-huh.
And even, you know, the addition they did this weekend with Jordan McLaughlin, like, that dude shot 47% from three or something. And on catch and shoot, it was even better. Like, a very limited opportunity. You know, he only averaged like 11 minutes a game for Minnesota over like 50 something games. But as like a third point guard, that's fine. You know, and you just have to keep adding shooters. That's kind of where the league has gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm intrigued. And you know, look, maybe there's a point where Alex Len gets back to shooting the corner three. He shot 37% one year for Atlanta.
I mean, it's like you said, it's like with the league, it's at a point where it's like if you're open, you need to be able to take one at least. I feel like it's where the league is moving.
Yeah, and I just skipped over the fact that they have Trey Lyles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, having a power forward that can shoot the three, and then having multiple power forwards that can shoot the three, that's huge. And the other thing is, maybe you have discussions with DeMar DeRozan about shooting more corner threes. Maybe it's something you just like say, hey, look, this is who we are. This is how we roll. And we're going to need you to do this in order for everything to move smoothly.
I got
to
pull it up. I think Will Z had one of those stat graphics out for DeMar DeRozan. I think DeRozan was near 39 or 40% from the corner from three.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd pull that stat. I got to pull that back up. I saw him.
I think for his career, he's around 36. But whether it was last year or the year before, it's possible. Yeah, so... I mean, like, look, this is a moment where I think the Kings are, they now have like their feet under them. They understand that, you know, they probably lost their first round draft pick for a while.
Uh-huh.
But they also just added a major, major upgrade. And like, look, that's like, we can talk all about how, you know, great a human being Harrison Barnes is. Like every single stat except for the 3-point shot, like DeMar DeRozan was better.
Yeah, and I think Harrison Barnes is going to a spot where he'll probably be more beneficial there than he would be here.
No, I think so too. Yeah. Like they're trying to surround Victor Wembanyama with good solid pros. And don't forget, like, Harrison Barnes is part of Team USA for years with Greg Popovich. Like, there's a relationship there, and that's why you go get a guy like that, because you understand sort of his impact and what he can be for a team, and how he doesn't have that sort of that mechanism, that selfish gene in him. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. I mean, we saw in Sacramento where it wasn't a good thing for certain times.
Yeah.
But to get a player like that as you're building something, as you're trying to support a young superstar, that's a really, really good thing to have.
Especially having CP3 out there, Chris Paul out there too. Like, that's only going to help Wembanyama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And but, well, I mean, that's, you know, to be honest with you, it's two of the best veteran leaders that you can possibly find out there. You know, whether it's on the court, off the court. Like, those are two very, very solid, not just basketball players, but human beings, guys that can really help you take the next step. Is there any, like, do you have any concerns? Like, major concerns where you're like, oh, I don't think this is going
to
work.
With the Kings, no. And DeMar DeRozan, no. I got to give props to Monty McNair. There was so much uncertainty going into the offseason with them missing the playoffs and their assets. What are they going to be able to do? Like, their picks are tied up. And I feel like Monty answered every question you might have had, like, going into it. Like, Malik Monk got signed, Mike Brown's here long term, and then you got a guy like DeMar DeRozan. Now it's just a matter of, like you said it a few minutes ago, now it's kind of more clear. Like, you know what your next step needs to be. If you need to give up a couple picks for Kyle Kuzma, like, you know you can do that because you know where it puts you at this point.
Yeah.
I don't really have any real concerns right now. Like, there's fit issues I think you can point to, like a nitpick with DeMar DeRozan and the Kings that we were just going over and stuff like that, but it's nothing where it's like, oh, I don't know if this is gonna work. Like, yeah, I don't think there's any real concerns right now.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Jesse. Like, I feel like this is a moment where, like, first of all, Monty got a deal done, right? That was a big deal.
Was catching heat for the last couple years or whatever. Like, Monty, whether you think it's unfair or fair, was one thing or whatever, but he was catching some heat, but he got something done. I think he got something right done, too.
No, I think so, too. And then I know we've got, like, people have asked in the chat, hey, where does this put Monty McNair as the Kings general manager, like, hierarchy? And, like, look, he's got a long ways to go before he reaches Jeff Petrie status.
Yeah.
Just so people know, like he's got to prove it. I mean, Jeff Petrie had an 8-year playoff streak here in Sacramento.
Team looked great on paper, but we got to put wins on the board.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, of the, it's 10 total, right? Playoff appearances?
I think so, yeah.
No, it's 11. They made the playoffs in 1985. They made the playoffs in 95-96, and then the 8-year streak, and then the season before last. So 11, and of those, 9 of them were Jeff Petrie. Jeff Petrie built the 95-96 roster as well. So he got a long way to go.
Yeah, but I mean, he's on the right track.
No, I think so too. So I definitely like the moves you were saying before. I think when you got Monk, that meant you didn't lose the offseason, right? If you lose Monk, you lost the offseason. Like, trying to make up for that without having the ability to make up for it, without having...
You would have been set so far back, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Because, look, you just were able to not only bring in Monk, but then still bring in DeMar DeRozan. If this was just DeMar DeRozan and you lost Malik Monk, okay. Mm-hmm. That's not a good offseason.
Yeah.
Like, so we're at a point where Monty has taken a step to potentially win the offseason. He's probably at, like, for me... when you factor in the Carter pick, you're probably looking at like a B+ with DeRozan and Carter. If Carter was there, maybe a little bit higher. If he makes one more move, you could have like a potential like A+ offseason where you put yourself in the running to be a full-fledged, you know, a team that's ready to roll.
Yeah, Monty, I mean, if he does make that next move or whatever, he puts himself as the front runner for executive of the year if the Kings handle business this year.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have to wait and see again what Devin Carter's absence might mean, how long he'll be out and all that stuff. The Jordan McLaughlin signing, 6'185". He's not a big guard. He played all five of his seasons with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's 28 years old. Last year, he played in 56 games, 47.2% from three. I sort of looked at his like some of his advanced numbers, because when you're talking about a guy who only averages like 11 minutes per game, you want to see, like, is he impactful in the minutes that he's on the court? And for me, his offensive rating for this last season was right around 111, and his defensive rating was around 100. He was a plus 11 net rating. Now, he's on a team with a great net rating, but that's a very, very good...
It shows impact.
Yeah, it shows impact, and it shows that he, when you have him step on the court, you don't take a huge step backwards.
Well, I think that's the thing, too, like with those Jordan McLaughlin-type players or whatever, the end-of-the-bench type guys. Like, it's not necessarily, all right, you're going to come in and give us 10 minutes a game or whatever, but it's like, all right, if someone goes down or we do need 5-7 minutes from you, all right, you didn't kill us when you were out there.
No, totally, totally. Yeah. And I think you can say the same about McDaniels. Like, that's another pickup that like, we just kind of glaze over, but as of right now, there's potential that he'll be on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if you move Herter, or I don't know, even if you don't, like, there's a possibility he could be your third forward in a rotation. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. I think the depth of the team is okay right now.
Yeah.
I do think that you need to, like, figure out a little bit more.
Probably need another wing, not necessarily, like, we got the DeMar DeRozan done and all that, but more so just to shore up the depth and all that right there, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm also going to add one other player into this conversation. Watching Mason Jones, his body transformation is wild.
Yeah, he was pretty popular this weekend after how he played. And like you said, just the whole losing, dropping weight and all that.
Yeah, so I asked him, I said, you look like you're in pretty good shape. Like, what's the deal? And he said when he got to Stockton last season, he weighed 240. And he weighs 195 now.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Dude lost 45 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning how much weight he's lost. And look, that's the guy who plays with force, who's put up triple-doubles in the G League. And you have him on a two-way. So if you need him to come in and fill in for a short stint... And we already know that when you have him on the bench, he's going to be a rah-rah guy.
He's a good vibes guy.
He's a good vibes guy. He's going to be a guy who's supporting your team. But that, you also sometimes, like, you got to play money ball a little bit, right? And that's what I kind of feel like the Kings did with Keon Ellis. I feel like the Colby Jones situation is still undetermined. But I do think that at this point that Mason Jones looks like he might, like, have leapfrogged Colby Jones as far as, like, a player that you might be able to rely on here and there throughout the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mason Jones plays 30, 40 games this season with the Kings, just as a spot player that comes up. And maybe there is a point during the season where you have an open roster spot and he does find his way onto the roster. This is his last year he can be on a G League contract, on a two-way contract, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, but, like, look, that's what you need to do if you're
the best teams in the league do.
Yeah.
Like, well, they all develop their guys and all that, whether, like, they may not turn into stars or even the best role players, but they're guys who can play ball when you need them to.
Yeah, I mean, look at your Boston Celtics. How many times did you see a guy come off the bench, whether it's Peyton Pritchard or who's the other guy? Is it Sam Hauser?
Yeah, Sam Hauser.
Yeah, like these guys that come in and, like, just give you minutes.
Well, look at Demias Keita too. Like, came into it, found him. He's got a deal now for this year's guaranteed. Next year's partially guaranteed. He's got a team option for year three. Like, he came in, had an impact, and played himself into a contract. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
good for Nimi. Yeah, so super excited to see what happens there. But either way, I think, you know, the Kings have options. You have to keep in mind that hard cap situation and how difficult it's going to be to sort of, like, to add a whole bunch of stuff after this. So you're going to have to rely on the base that you have, and then you're going to have to be creative. If there comes a point during the season where you have to make a move or you want to make a move, but you're hard capped and you're going to have players going out to bring players in, that's when decisions get difficult and you got to try to, you know, you got to pull the Band-Aid off and do something that doesn't feel good all the time in order to get better.
That happens.
It does. All right, Jesse. We've got a couple more days of the California Classic. I think today everyone is off. I think Tuesday there's games, and then there might even be a game on Wednesday. So, like, there's a lot going on here. I think there might be a game in San Francisco on Wednesday. Then we roll right into Summer League in Las Vegas. Summer League in Las Vegas starts on Friday. this next week. I think the Kings have a very, very intriguing summer league team. I like this split squad thing. I like, what's his name? Adonis Arms. Like, what? Where in the world does this guy come from?
So far, the California Classic MVP right there.
Woo-wee. Like, he looks very, very intriguing. I mean, even Boogie Ellis. They've got some guys that you want to keep an eye on here. So we're going to step aside when we come back. The amazing Jerry Reynolds, who is getting in his seat right now, is going to join us. So we'll be back in probably 3 minutes. You're tuned into the Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.